First of all, to all of you, a very blessed, holy, and Merry Christmas. My first Mass is for the intentions of the Holy Father. I think he both deserves it and needs it. For meditation at midnight Mass, I suggest we reflect on the humility of Bethlehem. We know on faith that God became man in order to redeem the world. He didn't have to. Man having sinned, God might have decided to redeem man by a single act of his divine will. Instead, God chose to become human like us in everything but sin, in order that having a human body and a human soul that could separate, he was able to die. And because he had a human free will, he could freely choose to die. However, God became man not only that he might sacrifice himself, living, suffering, and dying on the cross for our salvation. God also became man to teach us how to reach heaven. Christ is therefore both our Redeemer and our pattern or model to imitate. Being the infinite God in human form, all the divine attributes of Christ become the virtues of Christ the man. These virtues we are to imitate. These virtues, we know, are literally infinite in their depth and intensity. But there is one virtue above all, that when God became man, he wants us mainly to learn from him. He told us, of all the things he might have instructed us to learn from him, he told us, learn from me, because I am meek and humble of heart. But Christ taught us, not only by what he said, he also taught us by what he did. And with that introduction, you're now ready for the homily. Whatever else Bethlehem should teach us, it is the virtue of humility. And I submit, as I read the gospel, that we should reflect on the humility of obedience, the humility of poverty, and the humility of hard work. All three forms of humility revealed at Bethlehem. Let's take them in sequence and apply their implications to ourselves. First, the humility of obedience. Mary and Joseph were obedient to the order of Caesar Augustus. Christ was obedient to them. Mary and Joseph, you might say, had no choice. It is still obedience, provided, as we believe, that Mary and Joseph recognized if anyone stood above the civil authority that told them each one to go to their home birthplace where their family began. The last thing, humanly speaking, that any mother, knowing that her time is due, the last thing she wants to do is to travel. Travel, what we know, was at that time quite a distance. Travel without the assurance, and it proved to be true, without the assurance of even human habitation to stay overnight. There is nothing coincidental in the providence of God. Nothing. Everything is planned from all eternity. It was an act of obedience on the part of Mary and Joseph, and of Jesus, carried by his mother, that the Son of God would be born at Bethlehem in a stable because of an order of the emperor, and more approximately of the local governor, Serenus. And even as Christ's life began, as an act of obedience to civil authority, so his life ended on Calvary because Pilate, the local civil ruler, condemned him to death. How the followers of Christ in the last 1900 years have been oppressed, persecuted, hounded, crushed by unjust civil authority. as I don't tire repeating, the Seder has had more martyrs. Killed because of state authority condemning the followers of Jesus to death. More martyrs since 1900 than in all the 19 centuries before put together. I was talking last night to a woman in the East, trying to provide a good Catholic home for a child to be born out of wedlock by the end of January. The pressure, the problems, the difficulties, the threats from civil authorities, unless they observe every single letter of the law, and the state claims the right to choose the family. Dear God, as I told the woman, if this unwed mother, if she wanted to murder her child, the state is fully cooperative. Am I clear? That's part one of our homily. The humility of obedience. The humility of poverty. Clearly, there were many others who came to Bethlehem to register according to the emperor's directive. And Mary and Joseph, as it providentially turned out, had nowhere to stay. They were poor. That's why they had no lodging. Anyone who has money always has food, clothes, lodging. People will fall over themselves to cater to the rich. How the world, then and now, dreads poverty. You read one book after another. It seems the most dreadful evil in the eyes of the world is to be poor. And the world's definition of paradise. Of course, paradise on earth is to be rich. On Christmas Day, if any day, we better remind ourselves that the Son of God, the maker of heaven and earth, consciously, deliberately chose to be born in poverty. There is much more here, as we know, than meets the eye. St. Ignatius, in his spiritual exercises, puts it this way. The usual tactic of the devil is to get people to acquire possessions. From possessions, he leads them to get recognition, honor, and from human recognition and praise, so says Ignatius, the devil leads people into pride, and then they are his slaves. Possessions, praise, pride. You don't lose 10,000 priests in the United States since the last council, or 70,000 religious women. You don't have the highest rate of broken families in the world, in our country. Over 50%, except that so many people have their hearts wedded to the things of this world. We'd better make sure that we understand what Christ meant when he placed, this is God teaching us, when he placed as his first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. We can talk about humility. Read about it. I can now talk about it. And you patiently hear about it. And what a difference. I know because I know my own heart. In God's name, let us live authentic, honest to God poverty. If we're going to possess authentic humility. Finally, the humility of hard work. As Jesus grew up, he was known by his contemporaries as the son of Joseph, the worker. And the Greek word, or the church's official Latin for worker, is an unskilled workman. And we know from sacred tradition, Christ worked until when his time came to begin his public ministry. And then he worked and of all people of all people for God to choose to reveal the birth of His Son. Poor, needless to say, unskilled shepherds. My mother, a shepherdess from Europe, assured me, you need no education to be a shepherd or shepherdess. And the shepherds, we're told, were not only by chance watching their sheep in the fields at night. They live there. They hardly had barracks. You see, God did not want to shock the people to whom He would reveal the birth of His Son. The shepherds were not shocked. They saw that Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were one of them. If we are to practice the humility that God requires for our salvation, not to say sanctification, we must be ready. Not only reluctantly willing, but ready, eager, to do the most, how dare we use the word, to do the most menial task. In my now 40th year in the priesthood, I've dealt with some very wealthy people, but also, thank God, have come to know more than my share of ordinary, unskilled laborers. What a difference that's why, as I've told so many audiences, when I see women mopping or scrubbing or pushing a vacuum cleaner or empty ashtrays in airports, if I have any time, and I've been doing this for years, I make it a point to go in, tell them, thanks for keeping the place clean. My mother used to do this kind of work. Honest. Honest. You're doing great work. We sophisticated Americans, the most educated in human history, our genius has created by now warehouses filled with labor-saving devices. I'm telling no one to disposal there. Washing machine and buy a washboard. But I know, how well I know, fallen human nature. Lord Jesus, when you came into the world in Bethlehem, you came to teach us all the virtues that you as the God-man could practice. But you mainly came to teach us the hardest virtue for us, dear Jesus, us creatures, to learn humility. Protect us, dear Savior, from the demon of pride. So that doing your will in humility in this world, we will enter that kingdom from which pride is excluded to join you and Mary and Joseph in that everlasting Bethlehem for which we were made. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.